Blog Talk Radio.
Life, growth, and wellness.
Hello, and welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am so excited you chose to join in tonight. I get to serve as your tour guide on this journey, so it is my pleasure to serve in that role. Thank you for being here with us tonight. And, you know, we want to get ourselves situated and settled in, as we always do each week before we get started. So we anchor ourselves. We start off with affirmative reading. And today's message comes again from my daily inspirational messages that are posted on WordPress. And today's theme is sacred intimacy. Sacred intimacy is going within and communing at the very core of who you are with the source. This is a private activity that connects you to the spiritual energy of the universe. It is prayer. It is meditation. It is breath. It is aloneness with God. It is the time when you shut down all else and concentrate on your connection with infinite spirit. It is just you and the Creator. So still your thoughts. Turn off all the outside environment. The radio, the TV, the self-talk, become very, very still. Trust that you can do this. Say to yourself and the universe that you are grateful to be alive. Thank God for your existence. Shout it loud if you can. Give thanks. Simply give thanks. Love is powerful. Love is awesome. Love is healing. Love is energizing. Enjoy your sacred intimacy each day. Go to that place within you and truly treasure your ability to connect all life. It is yours to fully appreciate. It is available to you at your beck and call. Just summon the power and it is there. So I go forward this week with my daily affirmation being, today I experience an incredible sacred intimacy that satisfies my every need, care, and concern. Thanks, God. So thank you for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And the next step in our preparation for tonight is becoming still and invoking the energies and the spirit of our ancestors to be with us at all times, and especially tonight. Our ancestors are our way shore. They bring us love. They bring us light. And so we honor them with the utmost of respect and honor. It's all about life. It's all about love. It's all about wellness. Tonight's show is titled, What's in Your Food? It's an executive chef's perspective. Joining us for a lively discussion is Chef King, and he's also known as Sex in the Kitchen. So our conversation began a couple of weeks ago on another show, the Regina Sunshine Show, and Chef was just so intrigued with the conversation, actually, that Regina Sunshine and myself were having. He brought us food, which was just absolutely wonderful. It was very delicious. And he made sure that he told us that he only used fresh ingredients in the meal that he had prepared. There was no additives, no unnatural flavoring. He used herbs was all that he used. So he's very conscientious and conscious about the food that he serves. And so he's going to be joining us so that we can continue the conversation that we started a couple of weeks ago. So what we want to look at tonight is how all of this works together, politics and government, big corporations, food companies, medical industry, and pharmaceuticals. We will dissect the intersection and see if there truly exists an overlay. There are so many occurrences happening that it's just hard to determine which to pay your attention to. So is it the sky where chemicals are being sprayed every day? Is it the fact that food is being created in laboratories and not from the ground naturally? Or that our health may be sabotaged simply to create a necessity for yet another new drug? So it all begins with our food. We need food to sustain our body temples. So what's really lurking inside the masqueraded items being labeled as food? This is real. There's nothing fake about this discussion. And we will be hearing from Chef King shortly. And listeners, you're invited to be a part of this discussion as well. If you're already on the line, you know, just push 1. If you're not on and would like to be a part of the live discussion, call us at 516-531-9819. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Bye.
That was called Getting It On. That was my nephew, Anthony King. He goes by the name of AK. So that's on his latest CD called In Time. And you can get it from off of his website. That's AnthonyAKKing.com. And that particular cut was Getting It On. What a wonderful energy to get us all pumped up and get us going. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. You're welcome to call and chat with us and be a part of this lively discussion tonight. Our number here at the studio is 516-531-9819. And just call us and become a part of what we're about to talk about. It's so vital to our mere existence.
Sandy Rogers Newsreel.
Breaking news. New Canadian guidelines say no to colonoscopy for screening for colon cancer. New Canadian guidelines state there is not enough evidence to justify colonoscopies as routine screening for colorectal cancer. Instead, patients should undergo fecal occult blood testing every 2 years or flexible sigmoidoscopy. These important recommendations from the Canadian Task Force on Preventive Health Care appeared in the Canadian Medical Association Journal on February 25th of this year. Because of the negative impact they will have upon the income of physicians, hospitals, and medical device companies, they will be protested vigorously. But they are they're upholding that colonoscopies is a gold standard to refuse. The inconvenience, risk, including death, and cost without superior survival benefits over other simpler testing makes colonoscopy screening an unwise choice. So that's just a little bit of information to share with you, something that in the United States we seem to do routinely with people. And if you have ever had a colonoscopy, you know that it's a little bit uncomfortable. And from what the Canadian government is saying, that it is not beneficial. It does not provide reliable information. And there are other simpler, less health-invading methods that would produce or give a better accurate report on colon cancer. So I just wanted to share that with you. Thank you for being a part of Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. So our topic tonight is what's in your food, and this is an executive chef perspective. I do want to mention that Chef King is extremely busy. He caters to the elite class, the entertainers, the stars, the politicians. He does single meals. He does romantic dinners. And so his schedule may not allow him to be with us tonight, but we're going to keep going and knowing that he will be with us. And so, Chef King, we're waiting for you. We know you have a lot to share with us. So what I wanted to do, though, is just kind of go over again the topic and some of the things that we want to talk about tonight. So what's in your food? And a lot of times that simple topic there, people will just ignore because they believe that it is such an unnecessary conversation to be had about what they eat, what they purchase in a super in a grocery store. I was gonna say supermarket, but that may be a little bit too old school for a lot of you guys. But they were supermarkets when I was coming up. But, you know, the choices that we have in these places are quite different from what they were when I was coming up. A lot of the food that we have now, especially in the center of the store, is not really food. And so for years there's been a lot of research and a lot of documentation and a lot of people speaking about, you know, your true food is going to be on the outside of the grocery store, and those items that are in the middle are not really substantial food or food, period. So I just wanted to put that out there with us as part of this discussion and things for you to think about as we go along. So here are some of the questions that I want to address. And audience, you're welcome to join in. Just hit one on your dial and let me know you want to come and be a part of this. So the number one question is, how does all of this work together? Politics and government, big corporations, food companies, medical industry, and pharmaceuticals, right? That's one. And so we want to know if there's an intersection where these different entities, where they truly overlay one with another. There are so many occurrences happening. There are so many things, so many distractions that are going on in our world today. It's really hard to know where to focus your attention. So is it the sky where chemicals are being sprayed every day? That's chemtrails, in case you didn't know. We'll come back to that. Is it the fact that food is being created in laboratories and not from the ground naturally? So you want a watermelon, and you go to a store, and you've got this huge variety, watermelons and grapes, too, because those are the two I have a really hard time finding with seeds. However, they start from a seed. They're ripe enough for you to eat. There's no seeds in them. And that has just always puzzled me. So people look at me like I'm strange when I'm at the grocery store. And I'll be like, so where do you think the seeds are in that watermelon? And it started from a seed. Where do you think that may be? And, you know, because people don't give a lot of thought to those kind of simple questions is what I call it, it just kind of goes over our head. Well, we have so many other things that we're worried about. We're worried about paying the mortgage or the rent. We're worried about having enough time so that we can spend time with our family, with our loved ones. We're worried that the job may fold or that we're underemployed, the job that they're harassing us and that we may not have employment. And so all of those pay or wreak havoc in our sanity and our calmness and our peace. And then the other thing to keep in mind as we go through this discussion, just like I just read that piece from the Canadian guidelines that are saying no to colonoscopies, our health being sabotaged just so the pharmaceutical companies have a need to invent yet another drug, another vaccine, another pill for us to take. So, and understanding these questions and how they apply to our food, just wanted to, again, just kind of give some groundwork here so that your mind is kind of thinking about what it is that we're talking about tonight. What's in your food? And truly, that's an incredible question. What is in the food that we're consuming? So a really good friend of mine shared with me just a couple of weeks ago. Well, first of all, she had saved some bread, and I may have shared this story with you guys before, but the bread was like at least 2 months past its expiration date. But the bread still looked fresh, like she had just bought it earlier that same day. And it was a top-of-the-line brand, so it wasn't, you know, like the store brand, or a discounted brand or anything like that. It was a top-of-the-line brand, but the bread had been sitting out on her table for like 2 months, and the bread still looked like it was fresh. So she saved that for me to be able to take pictures, because I'm always fascinated with those kind of things. And I had brought her attention to being aware of those situations. But then she shared a couple of things with me that really off balance. So she was telling me that there is evidence, there is news media being covering the fact that the USDA is allowing bleached wood in food. She knew that from her research that she had been doing, because someone told her, her sister told her, and she didn't believe it. She thought her sister her sister had gotten it all twisted and, you know, wasn't completely telling the truth about what she might have heard regarding wood and food. And so she did her own research. With, I would encourage everybody on the call, you hear something that sounds strange, even from me, go back and double check it for yourself. Don't take my word. Don't take anybody else's word. Do your own research. There's more than enough out there. And then also, as you're doing that, make sure that the source that you're getting your information from is reliable. Remember, I've been telling you for a couple of months now that WebMD is financed by Monsanto. So, you know, Monsanto, they're the ones that's behind a lot of this GMO and genetically engineered foods and stuff like that. And so they have a financial investment in making sure that people believe a certain kind of way to keep their profits coming in. But, you know, they're going before court in London in September or October of this year because of the harm that they've done to humanity across the board. So they have commercials on in the United States, and they're financing, like I said, WebMD. They're appearing to be a very innocent party in all of this, when in fact they're the ones that have really created a lot of the harm and the destruction to the environment that we're now suffering with. But anyway, so getting back to the bleached wood, so my friend was telling me that there is a certain percentage of bleached wood that is allowed, particularly in cheese products, your shredded cheese, and the Parmesan cheese that comes in a can. Now, she wasn't sure if it comes in like the block cheese, but she did, when she was doing her research, she did see that it was allowed in the shredded cheese and in some other food items and in the Parmesan, what you sprinkle on your food. And so it was hard for me to fathom that the U.S. government would tell a food business that it's okay to put bleached wood as a ingredient in their food. I said, well, you know, we're losing it because we're not paying attention to what's right here in front of us. We're being distracted. So now I do a mastermind call every Sunday night with some absolutely incredible, incredible people. And we were talking on Sunday, distractions. And so we look at the politics and we look at the Hollywood, the movies, and the Academy Awards. And so we have a lot of different things that are going on that keeps our energy all tied up and all consumed, and I call them distractions. Even with Donald Trump, I don't like him or dislike him. I am not really that involved in the political, in the politics right now, in the political games that are going on. But I know that when we have these severe political candidates, when we have the wars in Vietnam, or when those wars were first taking hold, the White House was cutting out subsidies and funding for the majority of the programs that supported women and their families. Our focus was on the war. So we didn't know that this was happening. I call it distraction. So Donald Trump, to me, again, I'm not for him or against him. He is what he is, and he's doing what he does. However, he appears to me to be a distraction from the chemtrails that's being sprayed that is affecting the natural environmental balance that we enjoy or have enjoyed in the past, because if they keep spraying these chemtrails and everybody's reporting it, the Weather Channel's reporting it, other independent stations are reporting that if we allow this to keep happening, that our whole ecosystem is just going to be dissolved. It's just thrown out of whack because it's not meant to be able to withstand these chemicals. Just look up in the sky every now and then. Just look up in the sky, and you will see the airplanes and whatever this trail of white dust, what is coming out of their they're in the sky. I call them airplanes. They may be called something else, another type of vehicle. I don't know. But the chemtrails are disrupting our system. It's disrupting the natural balance of humanity and of nature. And so when we're so distracted by the news, by the different characters that are playing these tremendous roles. I mean, they're playing these roles that will just make you scratch your head, but it takes you away, important. Like I said, the seedless fruits and vegetables that started out with a seed, but for some kind of way, when you go to eat them, there's no seeds, and people are convincing you that convenience of not having to spit out a seed or to go around the seed to eat what the fruit or the vegetable is, that's really better. Look how they're marketing to the kids. There's a cutie, I think it is, that they're marketing specifically to children. And telling the parents, you know, well, this is what they want, this is what they need, it has no seed, it's such a convenient, easy fruit because there's no seeds in it. And again, how do you get something starting with a seed that doesn't have a seed once it's mature enough for you to eat? That's just a mind blower to me. And it, you know, it may just be me and how I look at things, but I don't see that making very much sense. I don't know. I mean, what do you say? What do you say? Is that something that I'm spending too much energy and worrying about or thinking about, and it's all good, you know, to have fruits and vegetables that God intended for us to maintain these body temples of ours, that we allow a company. I'm not going to. There's several companies. It's just not Monsanto, but there's DuPont and some other companies that are doing the same thing. So are we to give up our rights to be able to take care of our body with nutritious ingredients, but we give it away to the greed of large companies? Again, large companies, big corporations that are developing new food items all the time. You see it on Facebook. You can see it on a computer, on other social media. People are always talking about this, and it's real. It's real. So just again, what's in our food? Do we really, really know what's in our food? So Chef King may or may not join us. I do have a caller here that is going to be joining us with a comment. Here we go. Caller 817-308, would you please identify yourself, your name, where you're calling from, and give us your comment, please.
Hello, Sandy. Wonderful Horizon. This is Stone, Art Stone, in Dallas here.
Hey, Art Stone.
And GMO food may not be a bad choice when you consider they've been eating cardboard in China for the past, I don't know how many years.
Wow.
But exactly. You know, if you don't know any better, you can't do any better. And I'll preface my statement with this. When we were kids, we would say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the democracy? No. It said to the republic. It said to the republic. So the big picture, this is all about, democracy is about making money. That's what democracy, that's what democracy does. A democratic society, it's about who can free enterprise and make the most money. That's what it's all about. So when you consider that, and you have to critique the fact that so many of these large companies you were talking about kind of lay in bed with each other.
Right.
You know, you
right.
Look at FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, and then his wife, Eleanor, she was having relations with. Anyways, I'm not going to get into all that, but there are two ways to do everything in life, Sandy, and if you look hard enough, you know, there's at least three. So the chemtrails, the GMO foods, that's the least of our worries because we have scientific projects called HARP, and that's an acronym for High Active Oral. It's a deal that they have a little base, and they shoot microwave into the air, so the ionosphere is going away. There's a large, large hole there. So when you consider really what our environment is all about and what's going on, the small things and the distractions, they're minuscule, totally minuscule. So many times we have to turn in and do what's necessary for ourselves. But when you do that, you have to isolate yourself. You have to stop doing the TV every day, the remote control. You have to stop doing the cell, the tech. You have to stop so much of the distractions. And that's
right.
A very critical path. It's a hard thing to do. But I'm going to try to answer your question about the seeds as best I can. And this is my take on that.
Okay.
The very first Bible, the 1611 King James, that Bible did not have a J in it because we did not have a J in the English diction. We didn't get the letter J until the early 1600s, around 1630, as a matter of fact, in our alphabet. So if we can get them to give, if we can get them to do Jesus, then they can do anything. We can get you to do anything, okay? And the GMO, the foods, that's the least of our worries. The very least, and I'm going to stop there.
So, but I want to ask a question, though. So what happened with the rays, you're saying that's being shot in the stratosphere? So what happens if a hole is created? How does that affect the rest of the universe?
Okay, I'm going to say how it affects our environment as opposed to the rest of the universe, because we sit on an edge of a galaxy that's so many stars away from the nearest, how do you want to say it, restaurant. I'll put it like that. So what happens in our environment is that more UV is able to enter because when our magnetic sphere around the environment, that's what keeps all those magnetic pulses and all of the sunspots and all that different garbage and solar flares that comes our way from the sun, that's what protects us. And so when you have more of that to enter, and I say there's two ways to do everything, and if you look hard enough, there's at least three. Melanin is a critical path today in the environment. And I still can't understand how we give our kids so many chemicals and so many drugs and so many off-the-counter deals. but it helps them sleep. It helps them be relaxed. You know, it keeps them normal. So I can see that. But melanin is an over-the-counter deal now. And melanin, you talked about how it affects our universe. I guess I can go ahead and kind of say maybe off into the universe, because melanin is what that dark matter is called that we've been trying to relate to the scientific arena for so many hundreds of years. What is that dark stuff? I mean, we see the stars, we see the planets, we even see the nebulas, but what is that dark stuff that they sit in? And we're finding out with our scientific arenas now that melanin plays a part of that. So I say all that to say this. If we're going to get more UV, ultraviolet, into our environment, do you know what that's going to do to a certain part of the junk DNA? It's actually going to trigger that stuff. You know, callers, when you understand what I'm talking about, you have to critique what junk DNA is. And the scientific arena has come to the grips that we don't use all of the DNA that's in our chromosomes. All that, it's not used. And the scientific, it's baffling. Now, why isn't that being used? And that's why it's given the term junk DNA. But you look at the kids today. Look at the kids today and see what they're doing. Are they not more perceptive? Are they not more, how do you say, critical? Most of them at 2 and 3 years old can take a smartphone from these dummy parents and shut them down. They can shut them down. But what's happening, that DNA is being reignited in a melanated environment. I digress. In a melanated environment. And I'm going to stop there.
Okay, well, we're going to come back because I want to talk. You brought up a point about some drugs, and I want to just touch on. I donated blood yesterday, but it was really a unique experience. So I want to share that. But we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food, and we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating.
We get it out of a grocery store, and it's not food at all. I know I was telling my dad, because he liked the Pringles potato chips. I'm like, Daddy, you ever thought about how they get each one of those potato chips in that exact same shape? They never crumble. He's like, nah, I ain't gave much thought to that. Well, maybe they're manufactured in a laboratory somewhere. You cannot get a potato like that and fill up all those cans that they sell those potato chips in. Come on, Daddy. We've allowed the pressure of a materialistic society to take away from the things that are really important.
And we eat the junk.
Like being there with your children versus working two jobs. So that you have this fine car.
And we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food. And we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating.
It's not food at all. What was such an eye-opener for me was when my grandchildren were small. So we're talking about 12, 14 years ago. And that was when I first started the juicing, natural apples and carrots and celery. And my grandchildren were like, Grandma, what is this? It's not clear. You didn't buy this out the store. Oh, Grandma. They didn't know. They just had no idea what natural looked like. So then I started boiling fish. My mom don't cook like this. Can you go teach her how to cook? Because this tastes good. We don't take the time to prepare healthy meals.
And we eat the junk. We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating. We assume that it's food.
And we eat the junk.
We don't know what we're eating.
So now, I read this article that said one of the reasons why people are so overweight is that there's no nutritional value.
And we eat the junk.
So your body is craving vegetables. So you go and you get a hamburger, a diet soda, and some french fries. And you eat this, and your stomach is full at that moment. But just in a short period of time, your body is like, hey,
and we eat the junk.
I'm hungry again,
and we eat the junk.
So you go out, and now you get potato chips and, I don't know, candy bar,
and we eat the junk.
Well, that was yours truly in my 1 minute in the studio a few years ago. And I like that because it's still true. We eat junk and we think it's food. And again, because we buy it in a place that says grocery store or market on it, we assume that it's food, and it's not always that way. But right before we went to break, Art was giving us some information, and so when he mentioned, made a statement about some drugs, so yesterday I did a blood donation, and they have this system now where you go online and you do this little survey before you even get to the place, and so they had a medication deferral list. And they wanted to know if you've taken any of these medications. Now, these are all the medications that are popular and that the doctors are prescribing now. So there's Proscar, Avodart, Propecia, Accutane, Sotrit, Tegasin, growth hormones, insulin from cows. I didn't even know. But they treat diabetes with that, insulin from cows, hepatitis B, Plavix, experimental medication, or unlicensed vaccine. And so it says if you're taking any of this, then you can't give blood because, and if you want to know more, here's the reason why. So if you had taken or are taking the Proscar, Avodart, Jalen, Propecia, Accutane, Absorica, Amnistine, Clarivis, and the list goes on. He said these medications can cause birth defects. Your donated blood could contain high enough levels to damage the unborn baby if transfused to a pregnant woman. Once the medication has been cleared from your blood, you may donate again.
Well, that gives a whole new meaning to Zinkers.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And had I not given blood, I didn't even know this kind of stuff existed. And there are some where it's a permanent deferral. Some it says you can wait a week, and then once you stop taking it for a week, then call and they'll schedule you out like another month out or something like that. But this stuff is crazy. The deferrals or the insulin from cows, they said it's been linked to the mad cow disease, some of them that they're getting the insulin. And remember, they said that was used to treat diabetes. The deferral on that is indefinite. There's a hepatitis B immune, and it's an injected material used to prevent infection following an exposure to hepatitis B. And the name of this drug is called HBIG, H-B-I-G. It does not prevent a hepatitis B infection in every case. Therefore, persons who have received HBIG must wait 12 months, to be sure that they were not infected, since hepatitis B can be transmitted through transfusions through a patient. The Plavix, I know my mother was taking Plavix for a while, and they said these medications can decrease the chance of heart attack or stroke in individuals at risk for these conditions. Since these medications can affect platelets, anyone taking Plavix, Effient, or Ticklet will not be able to donate platelets for 14 days after the last dose. And then these experimental medications and unlicensed vaccine, the deferral is 1 year. So we're being given different medications, but if you're taking this, you cannot donate blood. What is that saying to you? And go ahead, Art, you were saying something?
That gives a whole new meaning to Zika. Bites. But it all trickles down. And when I say there's two ways to do everything, there's even a way to protect. You can protect yourself from all this GMO pink bunny rabbit stuff. Here's an irony. You know, you talk about the blood test, and I am a vet, Vietnam era vet. And so when we would go back and forth to different countries, we'd take injections. We had to take shots, immunizations and all. And here's, you talked about the hepatitis. I can drink hepatitis, A, B, C, any of that stuff, and it would never affect me. That's how extreme these different drugs are. And I told you the other day, I've never really, I'm sure I drank milk as a child, being breastfed and all that. But I don't drink milk. I cannot sit and drink a glass of white milk. I can't do that. I'm sorry?
Yeah, breast milk is not the same as
goat milk or cow and all that pink bunny rabbit stuff. But I say you can protect yourself, and there's ways to protect, even from these UVs I told you about, the HARP, tearing a hole in. It's actually a opening ripped in our ionosphere as we speak. I mean, this is scientific research. And like Sandy said, don't believe us. Go out there, and it's all out there. We live in a land, in a day of information, and so to be ignorant is a choice. But it's all there,
yes.
And there's a rip. There's actually a rip in the ionosphere where more and more, hydrogen, the hydrogen that comes from that sun, that's the critical pad. There's an enormous amount of heat and electromagnetism that comes from that, and that's why the body itself, being your tuning fork, in order to tune your way to stay vibed in this arena, there's ways to protect yourself. No, I'm going to stop there.
Well, thank you, Art. Thank you for tuning in. This is Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. Our topic for tonight, what's in your food, an executive chef perspective. Chef King, a.k.a. Sex in the Kitchen, is extremely busy with being called out to provide his talent and his services to a number of people in the metropolitan Atlanta area. So he's hoping that he will be free to join in the discussion at some point in time tonight. But if not, we will have him on a future show. So in the meantime, we're still talking about this topic, though. So what's in our food? And we're talking about all of the variables that go along with the production of our food and what's going on in the sky above us, and what's going on in the land beneath us, the earth, and what's going in to our food supply. And so although we may not have exactly what we were looking at as far as from an executive chef perspective, we're still talking about what's in our food and what we should be concerned with, because we have a lot of different distractions that we've been talking about, politics, the Donald Trumps and the Hillary Clintons and the Bernie Sanders, and, you know, what that all looks like and how that affects us. And then we have different other situations, the medical. I was just reading from a list of medications that if you had taken any one of these very popular drugs that doctors are prescribing for people, you can't readily give blood because it can cause birth defects. If the blood is transfused into a pregnant woman, it can cause all kind of health problems for other people as well. And so if we're just willingly serving as the victims, well, yeah, shoot me up, give me the pill, I'll take it, I'll pop it, I'll, you know, and not really being conscientious in how it's going to affect our bodies in the long run, even with the chemtrails, you know, they've been doing that for a long time, and I'm still amazed at the people that don't look up in the sky or the people that don't know that it's being done, that will argue with you that there's any spraying that's going on. But Art had mentioned something about the Zika mosquito, and so I actually had this that I wanted to share with the group as well. So it says, Bill and Melinda Gates have been called the world's greatest philanthropists and the world's most generous people. It's true that even with his net worth of $87 billion, Bill Gates' $28 billion in donations is impressive, as are many of his world health goals, at least on the surface. If you dig a little deeper into the Gates Foundation's philanthropy, however, you'll find questionable alliances and partnerships, such as the one with biotech giant Monsanto, as well as some curious projects like spending $1 billion on training programs for journalists and research on effective crafting of media messages. And this is from Dr. Mercola. He says, I have previously stated Bill Gates might be one of the world's most destructive do-gooders. He seems completely oblivious to the fundamental flaws and the science behind genetically engineered foods, for example. So here's the part that I wanted to share. The Gates Foundation has spent at least $20 million to fund the development of GE mosquitoes designed by a biotech company called Oxitec. The Oxitec mosquitoes are unlike any that exist in nature. To achieve this feat, Oxitec has inserted protein fragments from the herpes virus, E. coli bacteria, coral, and cabbage into the insects, the OX513A. The GE mosquitoes have proven lethal to native mosquito populations. Zytek virus, which has made headlines for supposedly increasing rates in Brazil, is also spread by the Aedes mosquitoes. Why the GM mosquitoes kill switch may fail. These GE mosquitoes were designed to die in the absence of tetracycline, which is introduced in the lab in order to keep them alive long enough to breed. Brazil, however, is the third largest consumer of antibiotics for food and animal production, and according to a 2009 analysis, an estimated 75% of the tetracyclines administered to farm animals end up being excreted in waste. The use of manure and sewage sludge as fertilizer is a major route of spread of antibiotics in the environment. They may not disseminate the mosquito population as efficiently as intended, companies racing to develop Zika vaccine. So we already created the problem. That's one thing I wanted to mention to you as I continue to read here. So there's a ByHeart Biotech of India, which somehow got a head start and began working on two Zika vaccines in November of 2014. So there's some U.S., the U.S. National Institute of Health, also working on Zika vaccine of their own, who the World Health Organization estimates it will be at least 18 months before any of the vaccines enter into large-scale clinical trials. For starters, Zika virus is harder to transmit than Ebola, and it's far from deadly. And most people, it causes no symptoms, and when it does cause symptoms, it's typically a mild fever and rash. So as to whether or not the Zika virus is to blame for So Bill Gates, his foundation, has close ties with the Zika vaccine makers. They received $50 million from the Bill and Gates Foundation to research and conduct human trials on a malaria vaccine. So they have different partners, Bayer, Merck, as chemical giants Monsanto and DuPont. So they're really interwoven with a lot of organizations, I'm going to call them, that's doing some things that are not so productive with the population. And so if they're developing this mosquito that is supposed to be causing all of this harm, but they developed it in the laboratory so that they can develop a vaccine to get rid of it. Come on, you guys, really? Come on, audience. I know you got something to say about this. As much news as we've heard about how these mosquitoes are causing all of these problems, nobody ever told us that there was someone responsible for its creation.
You know, Sandy, it's no big secret that none of this is just by chance. It's all by design. And the critical path is that we're reaching the 7 billion people level on the planet. And that's a lot of people. We're exponentially growing as we speak. And so, how do you say it? Efficient and proper management has to take its place. And a lot of people just, we can't feed this many people. That's why we have the GMO, because you can't feed this many people. And so a lot of people are just going to have to go. And the critical path is when you feed into the American system, the way you access its doors, you get a Social Security card. And that Social Security card allows you to get a job. When you get that job, the federal government says you have a Social Security card, so you're going to start paying taxes. And, you know, you're going to pay that until it's over, until you stop using your Social Security card. So we're talking efficient and proper management here. And like I said, we're reaching a 7 billion mark here, and it's in the next 10 years, it'll be closer to 12. So management has to come into its place, and this is not by chance. It will happen, and in fact, an Obama executive order, it's called a Council of 10 Governors, and it's actually divided the United States in several districts. And what these districts are areas that are managed and overseen by FEMA, the federal police. I mean, you know, they're going to be managed because that time is coming that all those GMOs won't even matter. You know, it's a matter of just trying to stay on this rock. And so
you truly believe that there's a place, there's a need for GMOs, Art? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, okay.
We can't feed People can't be fed. You can't grow that sort of stuff because we're taking all the land. Everything you see around each of us, I don't care who you are, everything you see around you was taken from the earth. It's all taken from Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're eating it up. We can't have enough land to grow our trees, to grow our crops, to grow our food. So we have to do something different. We can't grow that stuff. That's why we don't need seeds, okay? We just put it under some lice and get a little genetic modifying going here, and it'll look the same. You know, you were talking about that slice of bread, your friend.
I know you're being facetious, but what is that doing to our body? Because, you know, so I've got another friend, and her, as we're having discussions about preservatives and GMOs and GEOs and all of that, so she's like, well, Sandy, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, if they've got these preservatives that will make food last a year past its expiration date, then maybe it'll help me to live longer, too. And I'm like, oh, you have got to be serious. What? Are you really meaning that? You know, like.
It's the food. It's the food she's eating. It's the food she's eating that's making her think that way.
Right. You know, it's, oh, man, I'm just never amazed at the things that come out of people's mouths that justifies their eating the way that they do, you know, and that it's okay. And, well, yeah, well, I'm going to die from something or another, you know, but so why do you think that you need to be sickly or that, you know, you can't have a good quality of life? And so that you would rather just eat whatever is out there that's not really food, and you rather take the pills when you can't digest the stuff because your body, the way it's been so wonderfully designed and created, your body knows what to do when it receives real live food. But when you give it this other processed stuff, It goes in the shop, you know. It's like, so what am I supposed to do with this? I don't even know what the hell this is, you know. And they keep eating it. They keep digesting it. It just keeps coming at me. And I just think that there's another way that this whole thing needs to be looking right now.
Well, Sandy, when you get hungry enough, you know, a cracker is the best thing you ever seen in life. You get hungry enough, okay? So the eye eats before the mouth, and if it looks good. She was talking about that slice of bread, these red meats that you see in so many of these stores. That's coloring. It's so chilly. What's
and
that stuff look?
They also they use red light in the meat.
Oh, yeah.
Department
oh, yeah.
So that
oh,
looks
yeah.
redder. And then they use a green light in the vegetable department to
oh,
make
yeah.
it look
oh, yeah.
fresh. You know? And so much of this stuff, you know, like I said, we don't know about it. We don't talk about it with each other. And it's a shame that we don't, you know, help to educate each other on the horrors or the just the findings of what's going on out here, you know.
Well, who do you point your finger at?
By that bleak wood.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sorry,
who do you point your finger? Who do you point your finger at, Sandy? Really, who do you point your finger at? You know.
I don't point a finger as much as I would like for people to be knowledgeable, and then they can do whatever they need to do. So I'm, I'm not trying to point a finger. I just want people to be educated on what's really happening out here. You know, there, like you were telling us about the ozone layer, you know, and the rays that's being shot that's creating a hole in it, and the chemtrails that's putting a buffer between us and that outer atmosphere, and the foods that are being sold in the stores. We have so many distractions with the politics and all, you know, the terrorists and all of this other stuff that's going on, is that our minds can't even begin to just take care of ourselves. Like we started off with sacred intimacy being the daily being our affirmation, our reading for today. You know, there's so many things going on that we hardly ever have the time to just sit and be still and get away from the computer and from the cell phones and from all of those outside noises and just commune with the Creator, whatever you call the Creator, you know? And so that's all I want, Art.
Well, you know, Sandy, knowledge is not intelligence, and intelligence is not wisdom. And you say, if we would just get the knowledge, just, you know, just try to understand a bit. Knowledge is well and good, but, you know, I'm still convinced the number one problem we have in America is not drugs, it's not racism, and it's really not even the economy. It's incompetence. So if you don't know any better, you really can't do any better. You think if those early Africans on the shores of West Africa, if they knew what those Cortez guys and all those ships were coming over that are doing with that Bible, you think they would have fed into that? No, they didn't know any better. They just didn't know. And so we're talking an enigma, an irony wrapped in an enigma. You know, they say history repeats itself, and that's where we are. And the universal playbook is our religious, you know, doctrines, the universal playbook, and it's going as planned. So I digress. None of this is just by chance. It's all by design. And until we're going through what these guys call the fifth dimension, used to sing about. They said, when the moon is in the seventh hour and Jupiter aligns with Mars, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. So we're coming into a new age as opposed to the new world order.
Right,
and that will happen.
Right.
That will happen as well. But we're coming into a new age, and we must understand what time it is. And when you understand what time it is, and all of it falls in place.
It's funny that you would say that, because I was just getting ready to play that by Curtis Mayfield. So I'm going to do that. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up this discussion. And for those of you that are on the phone, I would love to hear your input as part of this discussion. So we're talking about, originally, what's in your food. And so we've made that expansive. We've included so many of the other distractions that are going on with us right now. So just would love to hear your voice. I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Darkness no longer. A child is born. Mother shed tears of joy as baby catches lungs. My daddy's not there where he ought to be. Somewhere in Georgia, skinning and shooting craps on his knees. Another victim born out here in the hood. And based on statistics, it really ain't all good. Welfare takes the tab, and daddy can't find, and it can't be seen. The family becomes a crime. The hunt is on, and brother, you're the prey. Serving time in jail, it just ain't the way. I'm living so hard, babe, that my hair's gray. We got to make a change. It's a brand new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
And it's on the way. We just marched 1,000,000+ the other day. Look, look, we all witnessed the sweat rolling down Miss Liberty's hand. She knows the sleeping giant is no longer sleeping dead. Oh, what a fulfillment of prophecy. Let us teach the children freedom's never been free. It's okay to cry. Go ahead and cry, cause Jesus wept, but hope and faith be kept. It's a new day.
A world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
It's
a new world
day.
Order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
The die has been cast, and there's no need to fear, cause people, the answer to your prayers are here. Sister Mary, don't you weep. Tell Martha not to moan. We need the love, and that is coming home. There's no need to worry. The time to take a plan. Mother Earth's given birth to a brand new man. Sister, I know you're misunderstood, but hold on to your man, 'cause the future looks good. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a new
a change of mind for the human race. A new world order, a brand new day.
It's
a change of mind for the human race.
Beware of the lies and false prophecy. We are many with eyes, but don't all really see. You must be merciful, my friend, to obtain the same. So if you break the chain, don't pass the blame. We should say unto all, and I'll say it again, it's not just to win. Shake a hand, make a friend. We who are pure at heart somehow might see there's still light in the world. Come rejoice with me. It's a new day.
A new world order, a brand new day.
It's a
change
day.
Of mind for the human race.
It's a new day.
That was Curtis Mayfield, New World Order. And I love Curtis. He was one of those souls that was just so connected to the pulse of the world. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am so thankful that you're joining in with us tonight. So our topic for tonight is what's in your food. Unfortunately, our chef, our executive chef, Chef King, a.k.a. Sex in the Kitchen, is on a job and was not able to be with us tonight. He will be with us, hopefully, one day in the future. And so we've carried the discussion on, and we've been talking about how does all of this work together, the politics and government, big corporations, the food companies, the medical industries and pharmaceuticals, and are we being distracted from the things that are really important? So we've have a new caller that is joining the discussion, caller on area code 213-422. Would you give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment, please?
Yes, this is Ali. I was just calling
Hi,
to check
Ali.
In. Yeah, I'm calling on my other phone. I got two phones, you know, and I'll be trying to call you on both of them. But, yeah, I just wanted to chime in because you were talking about food and what's in my food, you know, and I just want to say I don't eat a lot of things that people eat, you know. They assume that everybody eats the same, you know. I don't eat meat at all. And when I say meat, I mean fish, soy, fake meat. None of it. I don't eat no meat at all. Turkey, none of it.
Right.
People say, I don't eat meat, but I still eat fish. I say, well, that's meat. And then I ask them, well, did you eat eggs? They say, yeah. I say, well, that's chicken. You know?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I eat egg whites. I say, it's still chicken. You know, so they got to read the ingredients on the back of these boxes, and they got to understand. When you don't understand the word, when you can't understand the word, that means you got to go look it up because it's something that's trying to kill you. If you can't pronounce it, you know what I
right.
mean? I stay away from processed foods. If it ain't fresh, I can't do it. I stay on fruits and vegetables. But also, people got to understand, too, I'm going to say this, I'm going to let you go on the show, but a lot of people caught on to growing their food late. You know, back in the 60s and 70s, if you was growing food in the backyard, you might have had you something. But today, if you're growing out, if you're growing outside, your food is tainted. It don't matter where it says, organic or not. You got soil that's not being protected. So the new thing is the greenhouse and try to get you some soil that hasn't been tainted with the sun yet. And you only find soil like that under cage somewhere. But you can get online while they're online, you know, texting and talking to people about nothing. They need to be online trying to find out how to get some 99% safe soil, because ain't no soil safe on the planet, but, you know, some of it has not seen the sun, and you can put that in the greenhouse and grow your organic food in that. That's how you grow. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm done. I'm
point well taken. Point well taken. And, you know, you make a lot of sense with that, because we do need to be back into that era of growing our own food so that we do know what we're consuming. And so one of the lessons when I was helping my nieces understand how to shop for food, my point was, if you read the ingredients like you were talking about, Ali, if you read a box or a can or whatever, and it was something on there that you couldn't pronounce, or it looked like a funny word to you, you probably shouldn't eat it. And so that was the simplest way that I could explain to them how to avoid some of all of the unnecessary added ingredients. But buying anything to me in boxes and in a can, because the cans leach all different kinds of poisons from out of them, and those boxes are just fresh is the way to go. A lot of people can't do that. They say that they can't just eat fresh foods all the time, that, you know, they have to have something else to go along with it. I'm just saying, be careful. You know, be wise to what you're consuming, and processed foods. And because I really wanted the chef to explain to you about the food in these 5-star restaurants that he was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago. You know, because we go out and the meal is expensive, we think that we have nothing to worry about, probably showing off for somebody or something anyway. Or maybe we're just doing it for our own selves. But, you know, but regardless of that, he was going to share some of what he learned being in these 5-star restaurants, and that the food is not always safe, even when we're paying, you know, $100 for a plate. So, you know, just be careful. That's my point, is just be mindful of what you're doing, who you're doing it with, and if why are you so distracted? Why is there so much attention taking your mind off of the reality of living day to day? And so why is the circuses being held across the United States in these different venues, you know? So our mind is always involved in somebody else's business, and we're not connecting. We're not grounding ourselves. Like Ali, he's on Facebook, and I love how he has on Facebook about giving yourself a hug, or he'll give you a hug, you know, to get you through the day. So it's those simple things that we can do to increase our life force energy versus being distracted by some of all of this other stuff. And by not eating properly, Ali doesn't eat fish, doesn't eat meat. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. That's an example. That's something to aspire to. A lot of people would just turn up their nose and be like, shit, I ain't doing that. I can't do that because I got to have my meat. Where the this was funny. So the food chart, you know, as a kid, the food pyramid, and that was how we based out our meals and our food, right? You know, you had to have this amount of grains and this amount of dairy and this amount of meat. Well, now on the food pyramid, you've got pastries and candy as acceptable and part of your recommended daily food allowance. You know, what else can you say? What else can you say? The government is telling the kids that they need to eat candy and donuts. So
when did that chart come out, Sandy?
I think it was February of this year.
You know, and I'm asking that facetiously because it seems that we're just now being quote-unquote notified by the powers to be about GMO foods. Why would we be notified now? You know, I mean, this stuff has been going on for some time now. And I said earlier, there are ways, there's two ways to do everything, and if you look hard enough, there's at least three. So what do you do to protect yourself? Even, you know, you got to have the McDonald's, you're going to have the water cheeseburger with the Diet Coke. And those are some of the worst things on the planet. They can still take the corrosion off of your battery, okay, people? Those Cokes,
yeah,
okay?
How about that? Yep.
But I digress. What you do is set yourself up for success as opposed to setting yourself up, letting yourself be set up for failure with the foods. Mm-hmm. And a routine, apple cider vinegar here and there. You know, you do your fruits and try to get you some fruits in. And the big time saver now are smoothies. Everybody's rushing.
Yeah.
Everybody's in a hurry. So why not just do the smoothies? But you set yourself up for success as opposed to letting yourself be set up for failure, because this body is still the most unique piece of equipment on earth. And it will change and it will adapt to pretty much any stress or any environment you put it under, given the right conditions. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, because, you know, the doctors and the scientists, they're still learning about the human body. And I don't think that they will ever find all the intricate workings and how this body so divinely does what it does day in and day out. And so they keep finding something new, and they keep, identifying, well, no, it's now the body needs this nutrient and this vitamin, or no, it needs this and it needs that. It is because they don't know. The scientists and the doctors, that's why they say the doctors practice medicine.
Exactly.
And
you
not,
know, when you look at any of them, I do this subconsciously because I'm a vet and I have to do my physical every year, and I love walking into their offices and asking to see their degree on the wall. I just like doing it. And everyone I've looked at, everyone I've seen, under the doctor's name, it always says practicing
yeah.
physician. It always says that. And I think to myself, well, I can practice on myself, you know?
I like that philosophy. But, you know, it's like my thing, okay, because I've done a lot of work, years of work in the HIV and AIDS community. And back in the 80s when they first came out with the drug AZT, it was the cure-all. Now, it cured Caucasian, European American, white men. It cured them of HIV and AIDS. But given the same prescription, same body build and weight and structure and all of like that, with an African-American man, it killed him. So that in itself was proof that the same prescription medicine given to one person, one race, does not equate to total restoration in another race. So it was never documented as to what it would have done to an Asian American or Hispanic American. And so we were just talking about the African American and the European American. And so when I realized that, and that really kind of hit me hard, because, you know, we've been accepting all of this time that the doctors knew the right dosage to give you for whatever it was that ailed you. Well, I know myself, I've been poisoned at least twice with prescription medicines that the doctor have given me to correct a health issue. So when I started going to the doctor after that, I wanted to know, so now you telling me that my blood pressure is high, who was the base? Who were the people? What group of people did you use to determine what's a normal blood pressure? And so if you used a excuse me, if you used a European American white male in his 40s or whatever, I mean, maybe the age doesn't even matter, but if you use someone that's not like me, so you did not use an African American, but you use someone else other than me, how can you say that my blood pressure is supposed to be the same as their blood pressure when it's already a proven fact that you can't give the same doses of medicine for one and the other? It heals one and kills the other. And so,
man,
you know,
Sandy,
and
Sandy, you saying,
you
saying, You saying that, Sandy, that reminded me of here's a did you know one of those moments. Did you know Similac, the formula for babies? It was manufactured and engineered for the female, the Caucasian female's body type, as opposed to vice versa. Can you imagine the impact? And that's why these drug companies are so easy to get into, how do you say, the dance, because you're started on the chemicals. I said earlier about if you're going to feed into this system of colonialism, the Americanism, you have to get a Social Security card so they can start doing the printing money and using your investment. That's basically what a democracy is. You're an investment in this thing we call democracy, America. And so that investment has to go through ups and downs. We have to be able to do what the Greenspan does when he comes out. When Greenspan comes out, people just, they don't know what to do because he's setting the rate. He's setting the market rate. And that's basically what these GMOs are doing, is setting the market rate. Who will go sooner? Because if you don't live to get to be 62 now, is it 65 if you get your Social Security? You don't get any of that you paid in all those years. You don't get any of that. You get none of that. And so I digress. None of this is just by chance. It's all by design. And the sooner a person says, okay, I see this, so I'm going to do the other, just, you know, do the opposite. And I'll stop there.
Yeah, well, but the children's formula, Art, you are a very good point. It does have GMO ingredients in it. And so that's why we have this increase of autism with children and a lot of different other health challenges with children that we never heard of before. I never knew what autism was until just like over the last 10 or 15 years. So the longer these genetically modified and genetically engineered organisms are in our food, and the longer that we consume them, and our body, once again, our body is so intelligent that it knows that it is not supposed to have whatever this stuff is that we're putting in it and calling it food. So it develops these antibodies and defense mechanisms to fight off this foreign substance that's now coming in. And so that we then develop these other health issues that we have that are becoming so prevalent, cancer and high blood pressure, hypertension, you know, all of this stuff is a direct result of the food. And we'll have to carry this conversation on to another time because there's so much research that's being done, and most of it is being done overseas because America doesn't want to know that the food that we eat is what's our biggest problem and our biggest detriment to living a healthy life. Thank you, guys. We're at the end of the show.
That's it, huh? Oh, man.
Roger Show. I am so appreciative that you joined with us tonight. We talked about what's in your food. Unfortunately, we did not have the executive chef because he was called out to do a major job, and so we bless him and thank him for his energy.
Amen.
And we will see you next week, same time, same station. Join us. Have a great week. God bless you. I love you forever and ever. Be safe. Be wonderful. Peace out.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.